Adults, I don't know if you, like me, have got to this point after the weeks, maybe even months of preparation, planning, pressure. You get to this point in Christmas and you're beginning to ask yourselves more frequently than you'd like, is this all going to be worth it in the end? It's a good time just to stop as we move from preparation into celebration, to ask ourselves, or maybe to remind ourselves, why do we put ourselves through it all every year? There are lots of reasons, I'm sure, that we do it. But if we strip back the tinsel and the presents, the singing and the food, historically, the reason that we do it is merely to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ. To celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ. That's historically why we do it. Now, I know there's some smart Alex out there who are thinking to yourself, but hang on a sec, Ned. It's very unlikely that Jesus was born on December the 25th. You're probably right. That doesn't stop you, however, celebrating his birthday tomorrow. I know quite a few people who celebrate their birthdays not on the day that they were born. I'm sure many of you do it as well. As well as celebrating your birthday, I'm sure you also have parties in the closest Friday or Saturday. You like to extend it. It's quite nice to extend one's birthday. One of our congregation here at St. Peter's, for a very special birthday, spent a whole month celebrating. It's perfectly fine to do that. So even if Jesus' birthday is not technically December the 25th, we still can celebrate his birthday tomorrow. So if we are celebrating his birthday, what do we need to do? So children, what do we need to do in order to celebrate birthdays? Put up your hand if you've got any ideas as to how we might celebrate a birthday. Let's come down here. Celebrate our birthdays.
You have a party.
Party and presents. Very good. Anyone else? What else do we need? Party, presents. What else do we need?
Cake.
Cake.
Very good. Very good. Yes, so tomorrow, as we celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ, we are going to have a party. There's going to be food. You're going to gather together to celebrate it. Some point during a birthday party, you get presents. Now, children, I want you to imagine you're having a birthday party for yourself. It's your birthday party. You've got your friends and your family gathered around you, and they're all eating, but no one's talking to you. And then they get out the presents. You get really excited, and then they start handing it to one another and not to you. You'd feel a bit miffed, wouldn't you? You'd feel a bit confused. Why haven't I got my birthday presents? Does it sound familiar? Tomorrow we celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ. We're going to gather round. How many of us are going to talk to Jesus? How many of us are going to give him a present? We sang just a moment ago. What might we give Jesus for his birthday? Well, here's a suggestion. In my house, just before Christmas dinner, to mark Jesus' birthday, just before we sit down to eat, we sing Jesus happy birthday. That's what you do on birthdays. You sing the birthday boy or girl happy birthday. So we sing happy birthday to Jesus, and then we dig into the food. But what might we give him for a present? So I want you to think, what is the best present that you have ever given someone? Not that you've ever got, the best present that you have ever given someone. Who's willing to tell me what's the best present they've ever given someone? Oh, we've got someone over here. What's the best present that you have ever given someone?
Me.
And who did you give that present to? Your mum. Was your mum happy with that gift?
Yes.
You're shaking your head and saying yes. I'm very confused. Best present you've ever given someone? Yes. What's the best present you've ever given someone?
Kindness.
Kindness. And who did you give that to?
Amelia.
And did she ask for kindness? She did. Did you enjoy kindness? Brilliant. That's good. And what did you get?
A girl.
and being good. These are great presents. They are free. Brilliant. Oh, I'm going to run over here now. Best present we've ever given. Hold on a sec, Grace. I'm going to the back. Best present you've ever given?
Respect.
Respect. Is this on, Mike?
Test.
Respect.
These are great presents. Can I tell you about a present that I was once given? I was once given a present. I don't know how you do gifts in your house at Christmas, but in my house, we sit round and we take it in turns. We hand a present to someone, they unwrap it, we enjoy them unwrapping it, and then we move on to the next person. And it takes hours. You can tell we don't have any kids in our house. We take a nice long time opening presents. A couple of years ago, my mother-in-law handed me a present and said to me, "I saw this and thought of you." And I thought, oh, how exciting. And then she turned to her husband, my father-in-law, and said, Ian, didn't I? And he said, yes. She ran across the shop. She was so excited. I'm thinking, wow, wonderful. So I brought the present. This is what I opened. Now, I don't know if you can see it or even know what it is. Bearing in mind, my mother-in-law told me she saw this and thought of me. It is a bug catcher. To say I was insulted is an understatement. Unfortunately, I was so confused and shocked by it, I left it slightly too long to pretend like I was grateful. We had a very awkward conversation. When you're buying someone a present, I think you have three options. One, you get them what they want. Either they've written you a list, or they've dropped hints, or maybe you know them so well that you know just what they're going to enjoy. So you can get them what they want. The next thing you could do is you could get them what they need. Maybe they wouldn't dare ask for it, but you know they need it, and you buy it for them. The third option is obviously the joke present, where they neither want it nor need it, and it will last about 5 minutes. Don't get anyone a joke present. No one wants a main present as a joke. So if we're going to buy Jesus a present, or get Jesus a present, what might we get him? Don't get him a joke present. Let's just finish that there. Don't get him a joke present. So what does Jesus need? Well, his Father created the universe out of nothing. I don't think he needs anything, really. Doesn't need anything. If he did need anything, he could just make it. It would be fine. So maybe what would Jesus want? What might Jesus want? My mother-in-law, who bought this present, is notoriously difficult to buy for. This year, she's got one thing on her list, and that's CDs. No specific CD, just CDs. I'm just like, great. I'll just buy you blank CDs? I don't know. But I do know what she really wants, and that is to have her family around her. And this year, unfortunately, that's going to be quite painful for my mother-in-law. And so I am going to try my absolute best to try and make this Christmas a really family-orientated Christmas. Because earlier in the year, my mother-in-law lost her daughter, my wife. And so this Christmas is going to be particularly hard for us. But I am going to get her what she wants. Her family around her, loving her, and supporting her. Jesus is like my mother-in-law. He doesn't really want any objects or anything. And I'm sorry to quote a cheesy Christmas song, but all he wants for Christmas is you. That's what he wants. I wonder if you might be able to find it in your heart this year to give Jesus that present. But before we get all down and glum about Jesus missing out on his birthday, actually, he really doesn't mind you not getting him a present. He really doesn't mind at all. He just loves being and seeing you enjoy yourself, being at peace and having fun. He does enjoy that. And to make sure that you know that he doesn't mind you getting presents on his birthday, he's given you a present as well. And he gives it to you every year. And Jesus is really good at getting presents. He knows what you want. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows all those secret wishes. A boy had a birthday, and for his birthday, he wanted a bike. So he prayed to God, "Dear God, I want a bike. Please get me a bike." His birthday came, no bike. So he thought, it doesn't matter, Christmas is coming up soon, I'll try again. Christmas comes around, he gets down on his knees and he goes, "Dear God, for Christmas I really want a bike." And then he thinks to himself, "Hang on, it didn't really work for my birthday." So he's walking around the house thinking, what do I do? And he sees a crib scene in his house and he takes the statue of Mary, Jesus's mum, wraps her in a towel and shoves her in a drawer and then kneels and goes, "Jesus, I've got your mum. If you want to see her, get me a bike." Jesus knows what you want. He doesn't always get you what you want because he always chooses the second option. He always gets you what you need. And what is it that you need this Christmas? And I'm not talking about objects or practical things because your friends can buy you that. No, Jesus is going to give you the thing that only he can give you, and it is what you need. We can all agree that the world has problems. We can all probably make a long list of all the problems that the world faces, particularly at the moment. And we could try and solve all of those problems one by one. We could try and find solutions for them, but ultimately, we're just going to carry on finding more and more problems because we've got to get to the root cause. And what is the root cause of all of our problems? Maybe this phrase will stick with you over Christmas. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. It is our hearts which are causing the problem. Imagine that every thought you've ever had, every word you've ever said, or every action you've ever done is going to be publicized, particularly about whom you have thought, spoken, or acted. Imagine those secret thoughts that you've had about someone that you didn't really like. Imagine if they were told about that. Because we've all thought and said and done things that we regret. And even though we didn't mean to hurt anyone, even though we probably didn't mean for them to have a big consequence, and we can't really be blamed for it, surely, unfortunately, there are consequences to our thoughts, words, and actions. And they just run away with us. And we hurt one another, even if we didn't mean to. So someone has got to come along and solve that human heart. Who's got to wipe the slate clean? Who's got to take away the guilt and the shame that we might feel about those thoughts, words, and deeds? But not only to stop the guilt and the shame, but also to start redeeming the consequences of those, to redo them, to make them for the benefit rather than for harm. There is only one person who can do that, and that is God. And so Jesus gives you what you need. He gives himself to us to forgive us for our sins and to start a new life within us where we can be transformed into better people. So this Christmas, maybe you would consider giving Jesus what he wants. The truth is, Jesus has given you what you need. Maybe you want to give Jesus what he wants because Jesus has given what you need.